everybody. This is the Vegan Ari Show. I am your host, Vegan Ari, and I am joined by my partner in crime, at least in the state of North Carolina, Miko Alon.
Hi, everybody.
So we are we're doing this show, this podcast, because we had done the Sam Simon Show with the great Sam Simon. We did that for... Well, I was his co-host at first. I co-hosted with him for about 3 years, and we broadcasted that over radioio.com. And the show was really just a fantastic two-hour show about animal rights. And when Sam Simon passed away last year, I took over the show as a host. It went for about a year. And very sadly, we learned that we're canceled. We were... fucking canceled by Bubba Army. That was Bubba Army took over from Radio IO at some point. So we were broadcasting over Bubba Army and they canceled our asses. So I felt like I don't want to give up talking to people about animal issues and about veganism and about this stuff because it's so important. So Miko and I were like, fuck it. We're just going to start a podcast and we kind of don't know what the hell we're doing, aside from the fact that we, you know, did this radio show for over a year. So we're going to see how it goes. So I know that there's probably plenty of you out there who have, you know, listened to us while we were doing the Sam Simon Show. But for those of you who haven't, I just kind of want to, you know, tell you a little bit about what this podcast is going to be about. We are basically going to be talking animal rights, a little bit of politics, thankfully, because of Miko, probably some horror film shit, which I don't really want to talk about. Of course, our marital strife. We're a gay couple. We're married.
It's going on right now.
But first, I just want to, you know, like I said, I'm sure there's people out there that haven't listened to us before, so I just want to tell you a little bit about who we are. I'm Vegan Ari. That's what Sam used to call me. So I'm going by that. I'm Vegan Ari on Twitter. Ari Solomon is my name. And, I've been involved in animal rights for about a decade, and a little bit over 3 years ago, I started working for a nonprofit organization called Mercy for Animals. I'm their director of communications. And so, yeah, so that's kind of, a little bit about me and my history with animal rights. What about, you, Miko?
So I'm Miko Alon. I am at Miko Alon on Twitter. I am a screenwriter and television producer.
And by the way, please follow Miko on Twitter. He gets very sensitive about his Twitter following. He has about, what are you up to, like 60 followers now?
I think it might be around 60.
That's amazing. I say good for you. If you're listening, please follow Miko. You'll get your fill of communist lefty pinko tweets peppered with some animal rights and lots of stuff about the religious right.
Yes, and you'll also get probably pictures of, you know, Pluto, astronomy-related stuff.
Yeah. You like astronomy.
Yes, I do. Yeah. And, you know, ironically, today as we are recording is National or International Astronomy Day.
I'm sure our listeners are really fascinated to know that. Hashtag Astronomy Day. Okay.
Hashtag marital strife.
Hashtag divorce. Anyway... we're going to have, the format to the show, we're going to do an hour long show for you guys. We're going to usually, you know, we'll start with what's been going on. We're going to do it weekly. It'll be a weekly show. We're going to start with, you know, what's been going on during the week, maybe talk about a little bit of, current events with regards to animal issues and other stuff that we're passionate about.
I may rant about the Republicans because my God.
Yeah. But you know what? We're going to keep that to a minimum because this is a vegan show. This is a vegan show. We're here to talk about veganism and animal rights.
Yes, but human rights are also animal rights, which is why I rail against the Republicans. Anyway, go on.
Anyway, okay. And then we'll be tasting a new vegan product about halfway through the show. That's something we did on the Sam Simon Show every week. And we like to highlight, you know, new vegan. There's so much excitement going on with vegan products. So I'm psyched to, you know, to bring that to the show and to taste that live, which will be really cool. And we can tell you about that stuff. And then we're going to do a segment of just news where we talk about what's been going on this week with regards to news and animal issues. Does that sound about right, Miko? Did I get that right?
I think that sounds excellent. I thought that since this is the first time we're doing the show, in case there are people who haven't listened to the Sam Simon Show, can you first tell people how you came to co-host the Sam Simon Show so people get a sense of your background a little bit. And maybe you can also tell people how you became vegan.
Sure. Yeah, I'm happy to do that. So, so Sam Simon, he was one of the creators of The Simpsons, and he was a longtime animal rights activist. Really, really amazing. He started his own radio show. And it was broadcasting, like I said, over Radio IO. And the long story short of it is he saw a video that I created called Shit Vegans Say that went viral a few years ago, and he really liked it, and he had me on as a guest, and it went really well. I was on the show for 2 hours, and then a couple weeks after that, I had organized a protest with PETA in Hollywood, where we live in Los Angeles, by the way. And it was in front of Chick-fil-A. It was when Chick-fil-A was doing that Chick-fil-A Appreciation Day. And I thought, you know, let's protest them on two fronts. Let's protest them for their hideous stance on LGBT issues and how they were, you know, really coming out strong against marriage equality. But then let's also, you know, hit them with, you know, how horribly they treat animals. So, so I called up my friends at PETA. We organized this big protest. We had like 100 people out there and tons of news coverage. It was really awesome. And so Sam had me back on the show after that. And it went really well. We just had a really good, what's the word I'm looking for?
Rapport.
Well, I mean, I was thinking more chemistry. And so he was like, if you ever want to come back. And Migo, why are you texting me? I'm getting a text from you. Like, you're sitting right in front of me. Is this necessary?
I sent it before we started the recording,
but
thank you for bringing...
What is this? Oh, it's a... All right. Anyway, you interrupted my story. All right. Okay. So, he said, anytime you want to come back, you know, you can come back and be on the show. So, I was like, well, I'll just come back every week. And I did. I came back every week. We recorded it out of Sam's house, and... Then after a couple months of doing that, he asked if I would officially come on as his co-host. The rest is history. But and then Sam, like I said, was just such a fearless animal rights activist. And I was very proud to be a part of his life and, a part of the show. And so after he passed away, we weren't sure what we were going to do. But we had a lot of loyal listeners and they wanted us to continue it. So we did. And I was very happy that we did.
And this is the kind of the next iteration of what that show was.
Yeah, I'm afraid to use his name because I'm afraid that the Sam Simon estate might get a little bit upset about that. I don't know. So we'll just call it the Vegan Ari Show, and that'll be good. Unless we come up with another name. I don't know.
I like the Vegan Ari Show.
All right, well, maybe we'll just keep it that way. And I became vegan about 10 years ago. So I was actually at home watching The View.
As all lives are changed.
Yeah. I basically grew up eating everything. You know, I grew up eating the way most Americans eat. I ate, you know, meat, dairy, eggs, whatever. I had no idea how animals were treated before they reached our plates. And I was watching The View, and Alicia Silverstone was on, and Rosie O'Donnell asked her why. She said she was a vegan, and I was like, who cares? Whatever. And then Rosie O'Donnell asked, why are you a vegan? And she said, you know, I'm a vegan because I love my dogs. And there was this day where I was on the couch with my dogs and I thought, well, if I'm going to eat animals, why don't I just eat my dogs? Like, what's the difference between a dog and a pig and a dog and a cow? And I never thought of that about that before. And so after the show, I went on my laptop and I Googled veganism and Alicia Silverstone. And of course, that put me on the PETA website. And then I was basically watching a bunch of undercover videos of how animals are treated on factory farms. And I was really shocked that I'd never seen any of that before, that had never been brought to my attention before. And it was very weird for me because I like to think of myself as a progressive person. I'm college educated. I like to think that I know, you know, some stuff of what's going on in the world. And I couldn't believe that this very, very, what I think should have been basic thing. I mean, I sit down to eat three times a day, that there was so much that I didn't know about what went into food production. And so I was so horrified by it. And I blew off work that morning. I spent 2 hours watching this stuff. And then you came in the bedroom where I was looking at the stuff and you said, aren't you going into the office this morning? And I said, I know this is coming out of nowhere, but I don't think I could eat anything that comes from animals again. And
I said, what?
Yeah, you were like, what's going on? And I was like, wait a minute. Let me just show you what I just saw. And so I showed you The PETA had a video called...
It's called Chew on This, 30 Reasons to Go Vegetarian in 3 Minutes.
Right.
And it's shocking. It's still, to this day, I share it once a year on our vegan anniversary for people.
Yeah. So Miko watched it and then he was like, all right. He was like, we don't have to do that anymore. And I mean, literally that night, I threw out like whatever meat and dairy we had in the house and I went vegan overnight.
And the irony of this is that when our first vegan meal was a salad.
No, our first vegan meal was awful because let me just tell this story.
An awful salad.
This was horrifying. So I didn't realize that tofu came in different firmnesses. I was not that affiliated with tofu.
Well, let's back up for a moment and say, what do vegans eat?
Well, yeah, that's the thing. I said, well, what the hell are we going to eat? And I said, well, vegans eat tofu. I said, so let's get some tofu. So we went to the store, we got some tofu. And when I opened the tofu, it was like flimsy and like mushy. And I was like, what the fuck? This is like not the tofu.
Silken, they call it.
Right. Now, I didn't know this at the time. I didn't know that it was a thing. Like, I didn't know that it was firm, soft, silken. I didn't know. So I was like, all right, well, maybe if we cook it, it'll firm up. Maybe that's what's happening here. So we put it in a pan and we tried to cook it. And like, it just became like kind of like scrambled egg whites. Like, it was just hideous. So I was like, all right, just throw it on the salad and be done with it.
That's it. That's what we'll eat.
That was our first vegan meal. And it was pretty awful. But honestly, I remember like thinking like, I don't care if I have to eat this for the rest of my life. I will gladly eat like lettuce and shitty tofu. I just don't want to be contributing to that crazy cruelty that I saw in those videos.
Well, and the reason I say it's ironic is because you're a really amazing vegan chef now.
Well, now.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, I think that a lot of people... You know,
it's been 10 years.
Yeah, but they fear that, and it didn't take 10 years to become that. But
no.
But I think a lot of people fear that when you become vegan, oh God, what am I going to eat? I can't eat any of the flavors I used to like, and instead, I feel like our dinners, lunches just expanded into a whole new range of cuisine from around the world and into really amazing things. Because didn't somebody say once that you basically make like what 10 meals over and over again?
Well, I think what happens, like for me, it was a lot of people when they. You know, become vegan, they feel like it's going to be so difficult or they're going to feel like restricted. But I thought it was really fun because it was like a game. You know what I mean? It was like, oh, like, how do I do this that I used to eat, but do it without animal products? And it became fun. Like, I learned how to use like cashews to create like a cream sauce. And I learned that there were all these like meat substitutes that if I wanted like, you know, let's say like a pasta with sausage, it's like, oh, there's like, you know, and like this was 10 years ago when there wasn't even like half the products that are available now. I mean, girls, you should have tasted vegan cheese 10 years ago. Trust me, it was not, you know, field roast chow. It was like this vegan relish shit that tasted god awful. You thought you were going to die when you ate it. So it's like...
There was no Gardein. It was like we had to make our own Gardein.
And no offense to vegan relish, even though I just basically called it shit because I'm glad that it was around. But like still, like, you know, there was no... I don't even think we had Gardein. Like all these products...
There was no Gardein. There was no Daya. There was... Was there even field roast?
No, there was no, and the thing is like, look, there have been people vegan much longer than us. So I don't mean to be like, oh, when we were so young. No, it's not like that. I'm just saying
we had to press our own cashews.
I'm just saying that nowadays, like, you know, there's so many products, you know, available that help people make that transition. I know a lot. And then, you know, we primarily eat like mostly like, you know, like stuff like lentils and chickpeas and whatever. But when you're first making that transition and you're looking to replace, you know, your meat, it's so easy to just go to these, you know, foods that, you know, mimic the taste of it.
I say speak for yourself, because even though we do try to eat healthy when you're around, I love vegan processed food. So
I know you love processed foods. Me and Miko eat very differently. Miko, like, I'm like, oh, I'll have some kale with brown rice.
I'll make a baked potato.
And lentils. Right. And Miko's like, I want the Gardein fish.
Where's the pizza pocket?
I want the pizza pockets. Yeah, I mean, like, when I go on vacation, because sometimes I have to travel for work, I mean, it's a shame spiral.
It is. It's like, what did you have today? Oh, you know, I had the Gardein pulled pork, you know, or porkless, whatever it's called. Porkless bites. It's like, but you had that yesterday and the day before. I know, but I like it.
Well, look, honestly, I think it's great that, you know... veganism is known to be a healthier way to be. But I didn't go vegan for health.
Right.
You know, I went vegan for the animals. So, you know, and I mean, I'll talk about health stuff. I think that's important. And I think that brings a lot of people to veganism. But, you know, just wasn't the thing that brought me to veganism.
Yes. But dear listeners, I am here for your vegan processed food needs.
Speaking of, you know, the show in a broader sense, are we going to have guests on this show?
We should.
All right. We're going to get them to come over on like a Saturday morning and hang out with us. And
who wouldn't want to?
All right. Well, you know, on the Sam Simon show, we used to have wine. We used to have Chardonnay.
Well, I have no objections.
It's the morning. I mean, what are we going to have? Coffee? That seems... I don't know. We might have to
change. Well, it is afternoon, so...
Right. Technically. But yeah, I think that's how I came to veganism. And after I became vegan, because like I said, it was like a real overnight thing. I got a bunch of books about just animal issues, a bunch of nonfiction books about, you know, animal rights and vegetarianism and all of that. And the more I read, I mean, I went through about like a 6-month period when that's really all I read. And the more I read, the more I was like, oh my God, this is like, I'm absolutely doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Cause I just couldn't believe it was like this hidden world that existed that I never paid attention to before. And I just couldn't believe all the ways that we abuse and exploit animals in our society and how it really kept hidden from us, or it's just so culturally accepted that you never think to question it. And so it really, Sam used to say that it's like, you know, you're Alice in Wonderland going down the rabbit hole. And he was like, you just keep going down and down and down. But then once you get to the bottom, it's really nice down here.
It is nice.
And I got to say, I'm really at the bottom. So I don't eat animal products. I don't wear wool. I don't wear silk. I don't do leather. I don't do any of it.
I also think that it's fascinating to me when people talk about like, oh, it must be so challenging. Like I travel for work and I often go to places like Texas and where, you know, vegan options are a little bit more challenging. And I think it just becomes second nature and it's so easy and simple. And I never even think about it unless I'm traveling, you know, like I said, in rural Texas, where it's like people don't know what sauteed garlic is. And they're like looking at you like you popped off from Mars when you say that you don't eat animals or cheese.
Yeah, no, I've heard that too, that people say, you know, it's difficult because they travel a lot. But I've traveled a lot too for work. And, you know, while it might not be as easy, I mean, in LA, we're totally spoiled. I mean, there's over 70 vegan restaurants in LA.
Yeah, and there's like two of them are just down the street from us.
But even like, I was in Little Rock, Arkansas, which trust me is not any vegan mecca by any means. Like even there, like, you know, you can still make do. There's still like things like Subway that has, you know, you can do a veggie delight sub at Subway, or there's places like Chipotle where it's very easy to eat vegan. You just make do, you know,
and
you
places,
do,
and like and places even, surprise you.
Even Starbucks. I mean, Starbucks has, you know, soy milk and I think coconut milk at all their locations. They have a great oatmeal for breakfast that's, you know, totally vegan. You just have to know kind of like the hacks and the tricks, and we'll talk about it on the show.
Is there a website that you think it's good for tips, tricks, and recipes?
Ooh, tips, tricks, and recipes. Okay, so Miko is prompting me to talk about a website called ChooseVeg.com. Like I said, I'm the director of communications at Mercy for Animals, MFA, and it's a website that we run that basically helps people make the transition from male to female. I mean... Whenever I say make the transition, I want to talk about transgender issues. I feel like the word transition is like, now that's, I never think about making the transition. But anyway, if you're making the transition from meat eater to vegan or plant based, I don't know what the hell you want. Anyway, if you're making that transition, it's a really great resource. And we also have the Choose Veg blog. It's chooseveg.com/blog. And there we talk about all sorts of, you know, we give out recipes. We have, you know, roundups of vegan products. We talked about, you know, how to replace chicken and beef and eggs. It's a really, really great site. I love it. Speaking of all that food, do you know what time it is, Miko?
Is it time for new vegan products?
It's time for new vegan products. Okay. All right. So today we are tasting... What is this, Miko? I have popcorn.
So this is something interesting. you know, one of the things I wanted to talk about on this first show is, you know, when you look for new vegan products or vegan products in general, whether it be snack foods or otherwise, a lot of people go to Trader Joe's. And people may not know that Trader Joe's has a lot of amazing wide variety of different things that are vegan. And today we are tasting something that I just thought, huh.
This is a new product.
This is a new product.
Right, I haven't seen this before.
It is a pickle-flavored popcorn.
Pickled? Pickle?
Like pickles.
Like a kosher dill?
Yeah.
But a popcorn?
Flavored popcorn. It has that tang, so they say. So let's taste it and see
what
you think. All
right, we're going to taste this live. All right, let's see. I'm taking some right now. Hold on. And I'm sorry for the chewing.
Okay, I have to say... this is one of those things that when you...
Oh, it's so good.
One of those things when you read it and you go, that sounds odd. It actually kind of works. I have to say that's
good.
Wait,
I have to taste it again.
Taste more.
You know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of salt and vinegar potato chips. I don't know why.
Because there's probably vinegar in pickles. No?
I mean, this is really... I definitely get the pickle.
It's good as hell is what it is.
You think it's good?
Yeah.
I definitely get the pickle flavor. Yeah, I mean...
It's basically dill and vinegar popcorn.
Okay. I mean, this is good. It's good.
I'm going to eat it all.
It's unique.
Processed food.
I love Trader Joe's. I love... Trader Joe's has such a... Miko, you don't have to eat the whole goddamn bowl. Sit down. Miko's like over here like eating the whole thing. It's so good. Oh, it tastes delicious. Okay. Yeah, Trader Joe's has a great selection of vegan products. I mean, aside from, you know, just produce and, you know, that sort of thing, like, they also make their own products that are, you know, vegan. I want to go through. We did actually a roundup on that ChooseVeg.com site that you mentioned where we did a roundup, 9 vegan things at Trader Joe's that we love. So I want to go through some of these, and then you chime in if there's anything that like you can think of. But
okay,
so they make a vegetable masala burger that's vegan.
I've had that. That's very good.
Oh, my God. The second thing we have on the list, do not buy their vegan mozzarella shreds. It is they're disgusting. I'm sorry that this is on the list. We should actually make it 8 vegan things we love at Trader Joe's because this is the vegan mozzarella shreds. If you want... vegan mozzarella shreds, either by Daya or the Follow Your Heart, the new cheeses that they do.
Yeah.
Like if you take, they make like mozzarella slices, but you can take the slices and shred them, you know, like you would a block of cheese. I would suggest that. I would not buy. Okay, moving on. Okay, they make the hummus wrap, the veggie hummus wrap.
Yeah. And the falafel wrap is excellent too.
I love that falafel wrap. Although it's dry as fuck. I mean, you gotta like, look.
Drench it in the tahini sauce.
Use the tahini sauce it comes with and have a glass of water close by because you will choke. But it is it's very good. It's very flavorful. Okay. Trader Joe's also makes soy creamy mini ice cream sandwiches. They're very good. I've had them. They make the chickenless strips.
Yes.
Which are very similar to the Gardein. Chicken strips, they're very good. Great to throw in a salad or a burrito or something like that. Okay, they have their own line of cultured coconut milk yogurt.
Yes, very good.
Okay. The chickenless mandarin orange morsels. I've never had that.
It's probably similar to what Gardein makes.
Okay. They also have, their tempeh. Yo, Trader Joe's tempeh is the cheapest tempeh in the world. It's like, what is it? Like $2.99 for a strip of tempeh? Oh my God, that shit's good. All right, so that's, okay, that's definitely a good tip. Their non-dairy frozen dessert, which is like ice cream. By the way, their ice cream is actually very good. They make, I think, at least 2 that I know of types of vegan ice creams. And they do a vanilla, which is, vanilla, whatever. But then they have this stuff that's like a cherry flavor. It's like a chocolate cherry.
Oh, I've had that.
And
that's very good.
That is not something that I would usually like because I am against fruit in desserts, with the exception of like apple pie. I do not like lemon in dessert, orange in dessert, none of it. I just like apple pies, and I do like rhubarb. But like cherry pie and all that blueberry pie, I'm not into. But this is an exception. This is actually very good.
Was this the extent of your list on Choose Veg?
Yeah, why? You want to add to it?
Girl.
What?
You're missing so many great things.
Like what?
They have a vegan crescent roll that you can make in the oven.
Yeah.
They have a vegan cinnamon bun that you can also make from one of those like pop open things.
Oh, you know what else is vegan? The Speculoos cookie butter.
The Speculoos cookies are vegan.
That is off.
They have a vegan snickerdoodle cookie.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. But that Speculoos cookie butter, it is off the Richter. That shit is so good. I don't even have that in the house because I'll eat that shit right out of the jar. I don't care. It's so good.
Yeah, it's funny. I'm trying it as we were talking in my mind, imagining myself at Trader Joe's and all the junk food items that I get.
I also get the hummus from Trader Joe's. Organic hummus is good.
They also have what is it? It's cilantro and
jalapeno.
It's excellent. They have one of the best savory tofus.
Yeah, their tofu is good.
Their microwave popcorn is vegan.
See?
It's vegan heaven at Trader Joe's.
And Trader Joe's is one of those places where you can get like a full like grocery shopping for like $50.
No, it's so true.
It's really inexpensive.
And they also have one of the best almond milks that people make. It's $2 cheaper than most places.
See? No, Trader Joe's is the way to go.
Vegan heaven.
And now they have this pickled popcorn.
And if you look at they have a dark chocolate, which is excellent. Like, what's the word you would use? Very tart dark chocolate that's vegan.
Yep.
They have gluten-free pretzels that are vegan.
Oh, if you're GF, GFs covered.
I could like be the stock manager at Trader Joe's when people say, what's vegan here? I'm like...
Yeah. Well, we go there a lot. And now they're like pretty much everywhere from what I understand.
Yeah.
Well, I mean in cities.
And they have wine. It's perfect.
But I don't
store.
Think they have wine on the East Coast.
Oh, sorry, East Coasters.
On the West Coast, they have a great selection of wine, yo. And we do like Chardonnay in this house. It's very good.
Yeah. Well, moral of the story is go to Trader Joe's. You'll be astonished.
Yeah. No, it's very good. I hope that we didn't bore the shit out of people with our Trader Joe's rant.
No, it's like, I hope you had a list ready and we're writing this down.
Yeah.
Now go rewind to the beginning and do it.
Miko, this pickled popcorn, where would you serve this? Where would you, party?
I think this would be perfect for a twist on a scandal night, for example. You have this with red wine.
You mean Scandal the TV show?
That's correct.
Okay.
Because, and now, if you, you don't know why that's supposed to be clever, it's because Olivia Pope always has popcorn and red wine.
So Miko and I watch Scandal. We haven't really watched this season, though,
to be
honest. Yeah, the first four seasons of Scandal, if you have not watched it and you want to like just kind of binge on a TV show, yo, Scandal is the way to go. This show will have you hooked. And the people at work are the ones who got me into it. And when I asked, I was like, oh my God, can't take another television show. I can't do it anymore. There's too much TV between House of Cards and Game of Thrones and Orange is the New Black and fucking all these shows. I was like, I can't take it. But my coworkers were like, kept talking about it. And I was like, all right, how long is it going to take me to get into this show? And they're like, 15 minutes. And I was like, we'll see about that. We'll see. And it was true. I was hooked. I'm obsessed.
We watched the first four seasons, I want to say, in like 2 weeks.
Oh my, and Kerry Washington is like mesmerizing. Like you just, first of all, she's gorgeous. Secondly, her wardrobe. I mean, this season wasn't good. I was basically watching the season just to see what she was wearing.
I know. The problem I think that show had is that they got away from what made it so great in the beginning. That it was a perfect balance between, you know, she's this fixer in Washington. Like
right,
if you have a problem, let's say there's a dead body in your house, you know, she comes in and she'll help you, you know, take care of the problem. Usually the clients end up being innocent, whatever it is. But what was great is that it was...
No, they don't.
Well...
No. It's never, were we watching the same show?
It's never what you think is the point.
Well...
So they had a perfect balance between these weekly cases and personal lives. And then for some reason, they started going down the rabbit hole of, you know, they wrote themselves into a corner, essentially. I hope they're coming back from the corner.
Well, the whole... Getting back to why we're talking about this and serving vegan popcorn during Scandal, which, by the way, popcorn is always vegan.
No.
It's the shit that people put on it that makes it not vegan.
That is correct.
She basically, on the show, all she does is drink red wine and eat popcorn. Like, I've never seen Olivia Pope eat anything else besides popcorn and red wine.
Ari, we should try the Olivia Pope cleanse.
Oh, popcorn and red wine for 2 weeks and see what happens. I think we'll be very constipated. I find popcorn to be a little constipating, honestly. But yes.
Maybe just red wine then.
Maybe, yeah. So when, you know, when a new season of Scandal happened, we had all our friends over and we had just popcorn and red wine, and just in honor of what Olivia Pope eats.
Yes.
Yeah. They even comment on it on the show. It's kind of hilarious. But bringing it back to animals, because we got sidetracked there a little bit. Should we do some vegan news?
Let's do it.
Okay, so there's this awesome school. I don't know if you saw this, Miko, but this was in the news this week. This was a school in Rochester, New York. It's a K-12, and they're going all vegan. This is really, really cool. Joel,
the entire school?
The entire school is going to be vegan. You know, while they're at school, all the food served at the school or whatever, and they're moving to be a self-sustaining school. And as part of the self-sustainability, they're going vegan. So this is really cool. This would be the first K-12 in the country to be entirely vegan. Now, there are other vegan schools in the country, like the Muse School, which is the one that
James Cameron
and his wife started in the Valley in California, in the LA area. That's also all vegan, but I don't think that's a K-12. So this is really, really cool. Wait, this is the quote from this guy who started. His name is Joel Helfrich. He said, "We have to figure out whether the USDA will provide money for a lunch that doesn't include dairy." Can you believe that shit? And then he goes on, "If that's the case, we can take some government funding in order to provide free lunches to our children and the students at our school. If it doesn't, that will bring about other challenges like fundraising and figuring out how to work." So they're still kind of figuring it out. But, you know, I don't think what a lot of people know is that our tax dollars goes to subsidize the meat, dairy, and I believe egg industry as well. I mean, we subsidize these industries.
I want to give a shout out here to our dear friend James Costa made a documentary called Lunch Hour, which is about the school state of the school lunch program around the country. Also has a kind of historical retrospective on how it came to be this way. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't it true that you have to have like a doctor's note if you want to, like, if your kid wants water instead of milk in school? There's some craziness where,
yeah,
dairy is so bad for you, and especially bad for kids.
The government is so entrenched with the meat and dairy industry, and when you actually start looking at it, you can't believe how deep it goes. Like, you know, we're talking about people that are in, you know, government positions that basically used to work for the meat and dairy industry that are there, you know, promoting it. And it's weird because the USDA is in this very weird position where they're supposed to be promoting health and telling people the proper way to eat. And at the same time, a part of their job is to promote the meat and dairy industry, because these are industries that, you know, obviously operate in the country. And so they're telling people that they should reduce, you know, the amount of fat that they eat and, you know, cholesterol and all that. And at the same time, they're promoting products like cheese. So it's completely contradictory.
And you see the pizza that's served in school cafeterias, and you just look at this, go, what here has any nutritional value whatsoever?
You look at just the average school lunches in general. I mean, like in James's documentary, like you mentioned, or anywhere else, and you can't even believe the shit that, I mean, if I wouldn't want to eat it, why should we be feeding it to kids who are, like, you know, growing and, you know, need like nutrients, and they're in school, and you want them, like, you're feeding them like awful shit food. It's terrible. Like, the school lunch program is a hot mess. But the reason why, you know, they push dairy is because it is a government mandate to promote that.
But
industry.
This is what I just find so tragic about this is that you hear someone saying, "Well, we're going to have to hold a fundraiser to feed our kids healthy food." That's a disgrace.
It really is a disgrace, and it's very sad. And I hope that these people in Rochester, New York are able to, you know, get the funds they need to, you know, to actually do this. I think it would be amazing to see an all-vegan K-12. And I think it would also be amazing to see a case study on if students actually perform better when they're eating a healthier diet.
I believe there are studies that show that. And it also reminds me of, there's a very striking moment in another film that I really, you know, if people haven't seen, will really open your eyes, called Food, Inc., that kind of talks about do people ever pause to think about why is it that you can buy a Happy Meal for like $2.99, which has like meat, cheese, bread, all these different things. Yet you can't afford to buy a head of broccoli for that in the store. And what a, you know, what a huge impediment it is to healthy eating that that healthy food isn't affordable or isn't available, you know, instead of this crap, which permeates the school lunch program in particular.
Yeah, it's really tragic. All right, this is another story that came out this week. So, you know what Oxfam is? Have you heard of them?
I have heard of them, yes.
Yeah, so they are a global organization dedicated to solving poverty and social injustice. Love them already. They came out with a new study, a new report this week. This is awful.
I saw this.
That
is awful.
Basically, it was speaking to the exploitation of poultry workers. And it said that they're treated so awfully and that they are actually denied breaks during their shifts. And so many people wear diapers and go to the bathroom in their pants because they are not allowed to leave their post to use the goddamn bathroom.
I think when you say post, let's be clear about what we mean here. So if you have never seen footage from inside a poultry slaughterhouse, here's what you have to imagine. It is probably one of the closest things you can have to hell, literally hell. You have people who have to, how many animals' throats do they have to slit? Like, granted, a lot of it is supposed to be automated, but there's people whose job it is to really, like, kill chickens that miss the automated blade.
Yeah, so, so there's, you know, a blade that the chickens go by that is supposed to slice their throat, but because the lines are so fast, some chickens miss the blade, and then there are these backup.
Give an idea of the volume of chickens that go through here. Like,
oh my god, like thousands. I mean, we kill almost 9 billion chickens a year in the United States. I mean,
how many thousands is it in an average facility? Like tens of thousands every day.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it's like, I mean, you think about that. I think someone said that 9 billion chickens, it turns into something like 200 chickens a second or a minute or something like that. I mean, imagine. You can't even imagine how many animals that is.
So imagine
it's running.
And how little isn't there also the USDA is trying to speed up the kill line?
Yeah, there is a pilot program to do that. But the reason why I bring this up,
so imagine.
So there's a backup person that slices the throat, like you said, if they miss that blade. But sometimes that person doesn't get to it, and the next step after the kill blade is into a boiling tank of water that defeathers the birds. And this is the government estimates that up to 1 million birds are boiled alive because they miss the first blade, the backup person doesn't get them, and then they're thrown into a vat of boiling water. I mean, can you imagine boiling an animal alive? It's absolutely it's appalling.
So let me just say this. If you are not personally moved by the suffering of chickens, think about what industry you're supporting, where someone's job for 8 hours a day without break is to slice animals' throats, you know, in blood in this hellish, horrible environment, and they're shitting their pants and pissing their pants because they're not even allowed to take a break. What the hell are you supporting?
Well, wait a minute. Let me just back this up a little bit. Because I noticed a lot of people on social media were saying, you know, oh, fuck the workers. They abuse chickens. They're horrible people, whatever. I want to break it down a little bit more than that because I don't think it's as black as white as that. First of all, please understand that most people, from what I've read, who work in slaughterhouses, no one grows up saying they want to work in a slaughterhouse. A lot of these workers, this was a last resort job. A lot of these workers, are undocumented. These are people who are in the country, they're undocumented workers. So they're exploited and, made to work extremely long hours for, you know, very low wages. And I think that, you know, an industry that treats animals so terribly, it doesn't surprise me that they also treat their workers so terribly. And I think that, I'm vegan because I care, about animal issues and care about what happens to these animals. But I also care about people. And I think that, making people work in a situation where they got to shit in their own pants and piss in their own pants, I mean, this is a disgrace.
No, absolutely. And isn't there, there's a great documentary called Rape in the Fields, which has was this a facility that you guys investigated at Mercy for Animals, where they also had, like, rape and sexual harassment allegations. It's just the industry is profoundly inhumane, and is it a surprise that they treat workers as badly as they do animals? Almost as badly.
That's the thing, and that's why I bring up this story, because I think that, you know, it's one thing to say, you know, these workers are terrible people. Like, I don't know. I also question, you know, what comes first, you know? I mean, does the industry, you know, turn these workers... Oh, look, it's Minnie.
We're joined by our special guest, our cat Minnie. Come on.
Our cat, I think this is probably going to happen from now and then. Our cats are extremely vocal people. And Minnie, who is our older cat, is meowing right now and wanting attention. So we're going to let him in the room.
Hi, Mo.
We record this live, so, you know, stuff's going to happen. Hey, Minnie.
Hi, Minnie. Want to say hello?
No, he ain't going to perform. Hey, Miko, not for our entertainment, okay? not for our use in any way. all right, cool. Let's move on with some more news. Okay. Okay, I love this story. So this week, let me back this up. I work at Mercy for Animals. Mercy for Animals, we now have offices in a couple different countries. We have an office in Mexico. And we have an amazing, amazing employee in Mexico. Her name is Blanca. And this was amazing. So the state that she works that she lives in, was thinking about passing a bill that would basically undo all these protections that are already in place for animals. So it had to do with, like, dog fighting. It had to do with some other stuff with, I think, penalties for animal abuse. It would undo all of that.
Why on earth would they propose such legislation?
I don't know, but she went on Facebook, and Facebook has this Facebook Live feature where you can, you know, record, it's kind of like broadcasting. It's like the way that people do on Periscope or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And so she made a Facebook Live video, and it went viral in Mexico. And it went so viral that the government of the state actually called her and said, let's have a meeting.
Wow.
I mean, that's the power. I mean, first of all, the power of social media, but the power of one activist to change things. So she also, after she made the Facebook video that went viral, she made a petition, too, that, like, people started signing, like, wildly when she explained to them what this bill would have done. So she has a meeting with the governor. And one her other friend came with her, and he said, I'll veto it. I don't want to support this legislation. I see that there's a lot of opposition to it. And he did. This week, he vetoed legislation from a Facebook Live video.
That's amazing. And it's also a very inspirational comment on, you know, I think people sometimes feel hopeless and powerless, and I can't change anything. You never know when you speak your mind what it could lead to.
No, I am so in awe of Blanca and the fact that she was able to create this change just, you know, by making, you know, a Facebook Live video and then by following up. I think it's unbelievably inspirational. And I think it does. It speaks to how just one activist can make a huge difference. I mean, this is going to affect the lives of, who knows, maybe millions of animals in Mexico.
Amazing.
Yeah, she's so cool. Okay, so here's another story. So the Mayo Clinic, which is... respectable.
Right? One of the premier facilities in the United States.
Yeah.
Yep.
They came out with some sort of study that was in Science Daily titled, Is Meat... Well, the article in Science Daily is Meat Killing Us? And this was from the Journal of American Osteopathic Association.
Clearly an extremist vegan group.
As anything that I'm saying. Anyway, one of the studies followed more than 1 million people, and the researchers found a 4-year increase in life expectancy for people on a vegetarian diet for more than 17 years compared to shorter-term vegetarians.
Makes perfect sense. I mean, you know...
So you want to extend your life by 4 years? Go vegan.
Yeah, I don't know how the perception was created that meat is somehow healthy for you. I mean, okay... In case we have a first-time listener who is thinking...
We might have a lot of first-time listeners.
Well, let's say...
Did we do enough, like, intro? Is this, like, getting too deep for first-time people?
No, but I just wanted you to... Because you know a lot about nutrition and things like that. you know, I think there is this perception that, oh, to get enough protein, you need meat. So protein is like the only good thing that's in meat. Everything else in it is bad, especially cruelty to animals. But can you just mention some excellent sources of vegan protein so people don't think all you can eat is tofu?
Yeah, I mean, this is a question that we get all the time as vegans. You know, where do you get your protein? And I know that people... I know people get like really... They're over it. I mean, when you've been vegan for 100 years, it's like, you know, when you've heard that for the millionth time, you just want to, you know, do the biggest eye roll ever. But it's important for us to know that the person who's asking it might not have never... asked that question before, might have never met anybody who doesn't eat meat and really genuinely might want to know. So these are some great vegan sources of protein. And I just want to add that there, I don't think I've ever heard of a documented case of a protein deficiency in the United States. Like you basically have to be not eating enough calories a day to have a protein deficiency from what I understand. But some protein-packed vegan foods. So there's things like lentils, legumes, you know, lentils, chickpeas, black beans. Any type of bean is usually pretty protein-packed. You have nut butter. So peanut butter, almond butter, all great sources of proteins. Also quinoa, which is a grain. It's actually a seed, but it performs like a grain when you cook it. Quinoa is loaded with protein as well. There's also all of these, I know we're talking the first part of the show about like meat substitutes. Lots of them are also really packed with protein. In fact, there's one by Beyond Meat called the Beast Burger, which is basically like a veggie burger that they make from pea protein. It's like, it's got more protein than an actual beef burger.
It's astonishing. It has 23 grams of protein and it is soy free.
Yeah, it's a great, great source of protein.
Then and it tastes amazing.
Then, of course, there's things like tofu. Tofu is packed with protein. Tempeh, which is another soy product, is also packed with protein.
Seitan.
Seitan, which is a meat substitute that they make from wheat. It's not gluten-free. So if you're one of those gluten-free people, you definitely want to stay away from seitan because basically it's the protein from
gluten.
Wheat. Yeah, it's basically gluten. That's what you're eating. But it is. It's packed with protein. Even stuff like whole wheat pasta has a good protein
and bread.
Profile. Yeah, whole wheat bread has protein in it. It's not an issue. It's seriously not an issue. I think that's what people like immediately imagine is that you're going to be some like, you know, I don't know, protein deficient like skeleton. But like, I mean, no, it's just not an issue. There's also, you know, look, if you really are, you know, if you're like really like shit, I just want to get, you know, so much protein. But I mean, beware, like, you know, too much protein is not a good thing either. You know, too much protein has been linked to health issues. But if you really want to, there are vegan protein powders that you can make shakes with. There's, you know, Vega. There's
Trader Joe's has an excellent one.
Trader Joe's has one made from hemp that's loaded with protein and also omega-3s, which is really healthy for you.
Unlike a lot of vegan protein, I don't know. I'm not a big fan of protein shakes. I think that powders usually taste kind of gnarly, but the Trader Joe's chocolate one is really good, and the vanilla one is good too.
No, yeah, it's I mean, look, if you really want that, I mean, a great, like, some people love to start, you know, their mornings off with a smoothie, and it's a great addition to a smoothie, you know. And the hemp is not like, you know, that's just hemp seeds that have been ground up. It's very healthy for you. It's like a whole food.
Chia seeds also are an excellent source of protein.
Yeah, so look, there's lots of places to get protein on a vegan diet. That's not something that you really need to be concerned with. That's the, you know, it's the gist of this protein rant. But I think it is good for us to keep in mind that, you know, as you know, if you've been vegan for a while and you're sick of hearing it, just, you know, remember that the person asking you might truly have never, you know, had the opportunity to ask someone that, and we shouldn't be all snarky and bitchy and, you know.
Yeah. When we became vegan, you know, we were like, what do vegans eat? Tofu. You know,
exactly.
At least we knew that.
Well, at least we went that far. All right, I did have one more news story that I wanted to talk about. So Pam Anderson, who has been a long time, you know, outspoken animal rights advocate, there was a restaurant that actually put her name on a menu item that was like a hamburger.
What?
And I can't, it's so stupid. And so she basically, you know, contacted the restaurant and said, you need to really take my name off of this burger. I mean, Pam has been a vegan for a million years, and She also has a vegan shoe line now too, which is really cool. But yeah, so she called them and she I don't know if they took the name off. I don't know what happened, but yeah, this
they should just have a veggie burger. That's the Pam Anderson burger,
right? I mean, why? That's so disrespectful. It's like, you know that she's been doing this stuff for, I mean, probably over 20 years at least. I think she's been a vegetarian since she was a kid.
Yeah,
because
she is a force of nature.
No, she is. Like, me, you know, Miko and I know her. She's she's a force to be reckoned with. That's for sure.
And she was also a close friend of Sam's.
She was, and she was on the Sam Simon show a number of times, and we traveled with her once or twice. She's very, very cool, and she has a great story. And I don't know I might be messing this up, but I think it was that her father was a hunter. She grew up in Canada, and when she was a kid, I think she was around 12 years old, she went into the shed, I guess, where they hang up the dead animals once they've shot them or whatever. And she was so, like, horrified by it that I think that's what was the impulse to get her to become a vegetarian. I've heard that quite a lot, you know, people that grew up with relatives that were hunters or, you know, or actually farmers, that, you know, they grew up around it, and it was just so awful to witness that, you know, that's what got them to become vegan, vegetarian.
And she has, like, Finnish roots or something, right?
She does. Well, people might not know this about you. Miko is from Finland, born and raised.
Yes.
Pam Anderson is also Finnish. I think she said one side of her family.
Yeah.
So, yeah. What's going on out there with these cats?
I don't know. Minnie's meowing.
All right.
They're having their own show.
All right, good. Well, we only have a few minutes left, so we can see what's going on in just a minute.
Our cats are you know, they do this thing. This usually happens at night, what we call a pussy riot.
Pussy riot. Anyone who lives with cats knows what we're talking about. This is like when you're asleep and, like, at 4 a.m, your cats decide to put on a show where they're, like, running around the house, bouncing off the walls, meowing. I mean, I don't know. We have the most vocal cats. Look, I encourage them to use their voice. I do. I think, you know, speak up. But, you know, use your words. But, you know, at 4 a.m, you might not, you're not really into, you know, the pussy riot that's happening.
It is fun. Like, when we come back from traveling, that's when especially these riots happen. Like, they go crazy when we get back home, and then that continues. They have their own party. Dads are home.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. And then, all right, the last story, because we have a few minutes left, and I want to get this in. There was an excellent article in the Washington Post about these presidential candidates. So they're talking Hillary, Bernie, and Donald Trump.
Ugh.
And that they're being kind of... their hand is being forced now to talk about a position on animal issues. And they were speaking specifically that Hillary, just in the past week, put an area on her website, put a, you know, a page that specifically talks about animals. And I think that's amazing that we're actually getting to a point where, you know, politicians on a national stage are recognizing that animal issues is so important to people that they have to actually let us know, you know, where they stand.
I love that.
No, it's great. So Hillary put a page on her website. Bernie has also, on the Feel the Burn website, has his stance on animal issues, and they're both pretty good. You know, I mean, look, neither of them are telling the world to go vegan. I mean, we're not, unfortunately, there yet. However, President Cory Booker, maybe that might happen, but... I'm so proud. Cory Booker is a vegan senator, the only, I think the first vegan senator in the country, and he's from New Jersey, which is where I'm from.
I love Cory Booker.
I love him. He's amazing.
Donald Trump's animal fancies, he prefers them in tacos versus...
Well, now this was the article, was they were saying, okay, you know, Hillary and Bernie have both, you know, released, you know, their platform when it comes to animal issues. Will Donald Trump do the same thing? I don't know. I mean, he's... not been very good on animal issues. He tweeted about, I don't know if you saw this, but when Ringling made that big announcement that they were getting rid of elephants, he was like, that's the last Ringling show I'll go to. It's like, he's an asshole when it comes
to
animals.
He's a pathological asshole.
And his sons, I hope everyone knows this, his two sons regularly hunt, and there were pictures that came out maybe 2 or 3 years ago where they went to Africa and they were with, like, they gunned down an elephant, they gunned down some other animals, these, like, beautiful wild animals, probably many of which are endangered, and they fucking go to Africa to kill elephants. It's like, who does that? And
assholes.
I think he's been asked about that, Donald Trump, and he doesn't say anything against it. He's like, yeah, that's just what they do.
That guy is so vile. It is really a national, international embarrassment that he is a seriously, not just a serious political candidate, but the candidate now for the Republican, you know, nomination for president. What a disaster.
But it'll be interesting if he does release some sort of, you know, stance on animal issues. Because, you know, look, the millennial generation is now the largest generation.
And they don't want Donald Trump.
Well, and they care about animals.
Yeah, but he's going to court them with that.
You know, there was a study in the New York Times. There was an article in the New York Times that they were talking about millennials, and they were saying, they were calling them Generation Nice. And they said that 1% of baby boomers are committed vegetarians, 4% of Gen Xers are committed vegetarians, but 12% of millennials are committed vegetarians.
There is hope for the world.
That is a real, I mean, that's like quantifiable shit. I mean, that's a major jump from 1 to 4 to 12. And so millennials really care about how animals are treated, and I think that they want leaders who, you know, are in step with their values. And so it'll be really fascinating to see if Donald Trump, I don't think I've ever heard of a Republican candidate, you know, speaking to animal issues. Now, that's not to say that other candidates haven't, because, you know, I remember when Dennis Kucinich, who was a congressman from Ohio, ran for president. I mean, he was a committed vegan and very, very outspoken about the environment and animal issues. So props to Dennis Kucinich, because he was really the OG.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I love that Hillary and Bernie are talking about this stuff. And I think it's, you know, important. And, you know, hopefully Bernie will get the nomination.
Or maybe President Clinton will...
Maybe, but right now I'm feeling the burn. So
I'm with her at the moment.
Well, this has become a source of strife in our house. But
and you find it bizarre because I'm like the biggest lefty pinko communist.
I just feel like you espouse all these extremely left views, and you come from a country that is, you know, a socialist democracy, right?
Yes.
And yet you won't support Bernie.
I will, of course, support Bernie if he is the nominee. Absolutely.
But why not now?
I just feel like there's something to me about the juncture where we are in our history. We have so much crazy in this country right now that the Republicans have sort of pulled out of the darkness, you know, of the sewers, you know, people who are filled with hate, racism, homophobia, transphobia, misogyny, anti-immigrant sentiment. And I feel like these people who are probably going to try to recapture, you know, the White House for the Republicans, you know, are not going to understand what a socialist Democrat is. They're going to be easily bamboozled by the fear rhetoric about Bernie. I think Bernie's amazing. I agree with almost everything Bernie Sanders stands for, except his stance on guns. I'm a very staunch gun control advocate. That's my one area where Bernie and I will disagree. And I just feel like Hillary, to me, it's just the smarter choice at this juncture, because I think that a lot of people who are, there are probably
smarter.
There are still some sane Republicans who are lean more conservative, who I think she's the perfect candidate for. In my heart, of course, I think, you know, would I love to see a world that Bernie Sanders would create? Of course. But I just feel like for the country at the moment, I'm trying to be pragmatic and think about who is going to assure that we don't have President Trump.
Well, look, I'm not a Hillary hater. Like, I don't like all the Hillary hate that I see. I don't like it.
And I think she'll make an excellent president.
I think she'll make a fine president. I think she's very brilliant. I think she's, you know, obviously extremely savvy with regards to politics, and she has incredible experience. But I do feel like, you know, for some reason this time around, I feel like I need to vote like my ideals, and my ideals are more Bernie than Hillary. So that's where I'm coming from. I think, may the best woman win, as RuPaul says, but we'll see. The primary is coming up in California. So we'll see what happens.
Yes. And as I said, you know, I would be thrilled with a Bernie Sanders presidency, thrilled with a Hillary Clinton presidency.
But you know what? I'm thrilled that both of them are speaking about animal issues. And I think it really shows a shift, in the times. And I think that that's very exciting. And so, you know, kudos to both of them for you know, doing that.
Yes.
All right. Well, on that note, we are coming to the end of the show. I want to thank all you guys for listening for our inaugural episode. Was it fun for you, Miko?
It was.
You had a good time?
I did.
Wasn't too aggravating?
Not today.
We'll see what happens. So stay tuned for next week. We'll have an all-new show. This probably will evolve a little bit since this is the first one. So, but again, thank you guys for listening. And I'm on Twitter at Vegan Ari, and Miko is on Twitter
at Miko Alon.
So follow us, hit us up during the week with questions. We can always, answer them during the podcast. I love doing that. We used to do it during the Sam Simon show where we would take questions live. So if you have any questions about anything having to do with veganism or animal rights, we'll try and answer them as best as we can on the air, and we'll keep a running list of them during the week. So thank you, everyone, and we'll talk to you next week.
Hold up, they don't love you like I love you. Slow down, they don't love you like I love you. Back up, they don't love you like I love you. Step down, they don't love you like I love you. Can't you see that?